Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/realLifeSciFi for access to two bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and bonus. Sorry, I skipped the line. And more. Also, tune in Monday nights to twitch.tv/realLifeSciFi. We hang out and we brainstorm our upcoming narrative fiction podcast called Parabnormal. RealLifeSciFi.show is our, what do they call it, link tree?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. It's our friend. He's a citizen mycologist and busker. That's a street performer for you fucking people who don't read. Dillip.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey there.
What instrument do you play?
I play the guitar, and I have, like everybody else, but I have like, kind of a cool little shtick where I have a looping device.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I'll
like
just like
Reggie Watts.
Yeah, sure. So I'll just like loop tracks on the fly and throw together a song on the street.
Just original stuff. Or do you do like,
a couple of covers, no nursery rhymes. A couple of cover songs, but mostly it's just original stuff. It's just kind of jammy.
Are you one of those guys that has like an amp and then there's a CD and it's got like some kind of like a space thing on the cover or something?
No CD. But okay. I do have an amp. I got the busking rig. I have the amp you drag out. And
is Boston? Is that what Willie said?
Yeah, I'm in Boston. Yeah, I've bounced up and down the East Coast a little bit, but so I'm in Boston now. I've been up here for about a year and a half.
Do you hate it? Is it super racist there?
Oh, Boston is a mixed bag. Especially coming from, I don't know. I was living in Philly for like 5 years before coming back up to Boston.
You just picked
the
biggest asshole cities.
I really like Philadelphia. It's a cool spot.
City of brotherly love, my ass.
It can be harsh. Yeah, it can be a little.
I've met
harsh.
Some nice people from Philly. It's fine. You get some good cheesesteaks out there.
It's not a great place for cheese. I don't know. I'm not into the Philly cheesesteak. I know the main question everybody asks. Like, oh, did you see the Bell? Did you get a cheesesteak?
Great. Now I'm just basic. Did you see the Bell?
I have seen the Bell. Yeah, I saw.
Cool.
The Bell.
How big is that crack?
It's pretty big, dude. It's. I wouldn't feel comfortable ringing it, you know?
So what are you doing in Boston outside of, well, we should talk about mycology, which is a word that you just said that I didn't know that I have Googled. It's a branch of biology concerning the study of fungi.
Yeah.
So yeah, you make mushrooms.
Yeah. I make mushrooms. I've been doing for like 10 years or so. I got into it as like just a minor like money-making venture, and then it never really turned into that. It was more of like just became a hobby and became something I really kind of connected with people over, and also like I kind of through like growing and cultivating specifically psilocybin mushrooms, magic mushrooms, you kind of get, there is a little bit of like therapeutic quality in there.
Sure.
As well.
Yeah,
So you see, I've seen a lot of, people really helping themselves and just from taking mushrooms like a couple of times, or maybe even once.
What, like people with PTSD or something?
Mainly people who are alcohol or heroin addicts. That's kind of been most of my experience, is like people who were able to quit using opiates and stuff like that just because.
No shit.
Yep. It's pretty cool. It's cool. It's cool. Like the mechanism of it is really super neat too. I mean, just like the way that it works in your mind, like the way that, interesting. I have like anecdotal experience myself. I used to drink too much. And so it's kind of, I don't know how much you want me to go into detail about.
We can pop into it later once we jump into, cause this is part of the topic too. So we'll
It's just not relatable at all to me because I don't drink too much. So let's get into the WoW scale. You're a mycologist, but how into the world of like the paranormal and sci-fi are you?
I like it. I am interested in, I think aliens are super cool. I think alien lore is super cool.
Alien war?
Lore. Like, you know, just like.
Alien war is super cool. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of it. Yeah.
Freak me out.
What? There's an alien war happening?
You know, I kind of can be convinced of stuff, which is, you know, so I waver a little bit.
Ooh, you got to watch out, man. Q's looking for people like you.
Well, we should bring this up, right? Like, Dillips has listened to all of our episodes. We've put a call out for this earlier. And so with that being said, was there an episode that we've done that changed your mind on something big like that?
What a narcissistic question.
I know, but not narcissistically, mostly because we're introducing like shit that people isn't in that stuff that isn't.
Yeah, no, I get it. And honestly, I just was trying to fill time because you put him so on the spot. I was trying to give him some time to come up with an answer. Now your time is up. What's the answer?
So I don't know if it's changed my beliefs on anything. There's definitely like episodes I've listened to where I've been like, oh, I've never heard of this thing before, like whatever it is. And then throughout the episode, I'm like, surely this is not a thing. Surely this does not exist. So that's happened a couple of times. You know, other than that, it's just cool. It's just cool to like hear ideas and like, you know, a little bit of the back and forth. I mean, it's just, you know.
All right, let's get into the WoW scale.
WoW scale. Are you a wed or are you a willy?
WoW scale stands for wait or willy. It's a 5-question quiz. At the end of the quiz, I will give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a wait. If you're more of 5, you're more of a willy. Are you ready to be weighed on the WoW scale?
Yes, I am.
First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, no, and no. I'm going to give the typical answer. I do believe that in the vastness of the universe, there is something else out there besides terrestrial life. If I would have been asked this like maybe 5 years ago, I would have said yes to all three. But mm-hmm. I think, like, I don't know. There's just so much strange stuff out there. Like, the world is weird. Like, the world is a really, really weird place, you know? And there's things that are, like, part of this world that are so foreign to me that I think it's strange enough. Like, everything's strange enough without aliens, you know? It's not, you know, there are strange enough explanations for, like, Tic Tacs and, you know, other things like that.
Well, mushroom is one of them, right? I mean, like, do you think that mushrooms came on an asteroid to Earth? And is it true mushrooms are connected?
I wouldn't discount it. Well, there is there's a thing called a mycelial network, which is something that they're like kind of discovering more and more.
Crazy.
There's a guy, Paul Stamets, that talks a lot about this. There's like a kind of popular Netflix movie called Fantastic Fungi, and he talks about this a little bit in this movie. There is like an underground network of mycelium, which is basically like the roots of a mushroom, you know. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. a mushroom itself is just like a reproductive organ. They're kind of figuring out that like these mycelial networks are kind of communicating with each other, and they're communicating via like chemical interaction, like communicating with the trees and like other plant life that's kind of like coexisting together. And so it's like one of those things of like symbiosis that like people, you know, until very recently are pretty unaware of.
Paul Stamets has a TED talk. Do you know that?
Yeah, I think he's done maybe more than one.
Second question, ghosts.
Yeah, I believe in ghosts. I've had a couple.
You got a ghost story?
Yeah, I got it. I do.
All right, let's hear it.
I lived in a haunted house for a little bit. I was 19 years old and I was like renting. I was renting this place on Cape Cod, and it was kind of a beach cottage type of a place. So it was really pretty quiet. I was warned moving in by the lady that lived there. You know, it was kind of me and this other lady were splitting the place. She's like, yeah, she's telling me, oh yeah, there's, you know, ghosts. And I was like, didn't believe. I was like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah,
that's fine.
That's the way I would be. Yeah.
Yeah. So I move into this place and everything's cool, but there, you know, there was a couple of things that happened that were just completely spooky. Like you, there was a time that my friend and I were sitting in my bedroom, playing music. We were just jamming out. And this place, it had like the old school, like doors where they latch on one side. It's like a super thin door and there's like a hook latch on one side and like a little thumb thing on the other side. So it's, the door's completely latched shut and all of a sudden swings open, smashes against the wall. There's nobody behind the door. It was really strange. So it's just stuff like that. Like footsteps in the upstairs where
I feel like that's around. A criticism of your music, really. The ghost was like, shut the fuck up.
Could be. I mean, yeah, maybe it's been like a, yeah.
Yeah, the previous tenant was also a musician. That's the what she didn't mention.
So it was a music house. Yeah, everybody there was anyway, so yeah, so that stuff happened. I had a girlfriend that stayed over. Like I left the place one night and she had some weird stuff happen. Like the covers in the bed, like went up over her head voluntarily, just like strange things like that.
Fuck. Oh, it was a gay music critic ghost.
So
he's like, cover up, lady. And stop playing all that music. It's crazy to me how many people come on here and have ghost stories.
It did. And it's like, that was really like the only time that I ever experienced anything like that. Like I haven't since.
What did you do like during it? Did you ever talk to the ghost or anything?
We would. Yeah. You know, the like, hey, I don't mean any harm. You know, I didn't really know what to, you know, and I also felt silly talking.
I'm not going to solve your murder. Okay. I'm not going to help.
Right.
Well, we know that's what every ghost wants. I don't know. I'm not a detective.
I was working a construction job at this time, right? And so I'm doing plastering with these guys and I'm sitting down to lunch with these guys one day, like these three brothers that had like just joined the crew. Literally brothers. So
I'm sorry. I don't know.
No,
I take my shots. So, they don't all go in.
So we're sitting there eating lunch and these guys are asking, oh, where do you live at? You know, where are you staying? And I tell them, oh yeah, I'm on Peter Oliver. They're like, oh, what number? You know, these kids, like these guys, like Boston guys, you know? And I was like, oh, number, I think it was number 8 or number 10. I don't know, whichever. I was like, oh, that's number 8. And these guys, like they stop eating. They look at me, they get super serious. They look at me, they stop eating. And this one guy goes, have you seen the spooks? He goes, have you seen the spooks, kid?
He meant black guys?
Yeah, he meant black. No, he. So I
see now the brothers joke makes sense. I'm glad I said it.
Exactly. I tied it all back in. No. So it was like kind of confirmed for me. I guess they had a relative that lived at that house for a little while and said that they had some.
That's insane. Some ghost
experiences there.
That it was like a famous ghost house, right? Or at least famous enough that they were related to somebody. I'm sure they're Catholic though. Did you ever go to Sandwich?
Yeah, actually, my children live in the town of Sandwich. Why do you ask?
Well, just because Sam Brown's from there, and I just think it's a funny place, Sandwich.
Yeah, it is a funny. Yeah, there's a lot of Mashed Pea Sandwich. There's some funny names out there.
Mashed Pea? I've never heard of that one.
Fucking Mashed Pea. Yeah, weird.
Massachusetts, man. All right, third question. Bigfoot.
No.
Nobody likes Bigfoot. We got to just get rid of Bigfoot.
You're probably right. But for anyone that does, it's a big shift. But yeah, it makes everyone on your side. Yeah, go on.
Psychics.
Nah, I don't really believe in. I've never had an experience with a psychic. I've never even sat down.
You've never been to one or anything? You never tried? All right, last question. Do you believe that Earth is a simulation or the simulation theory that we live in a simulation? You know what I mean. You believe
in
that?
No, I don't. I don't believe in that. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this then. Are you religious?
No, I go. Well, I guess I'm kind of like agnostic. Again, things are so weird. There's a lot of weird stuff out there.
What do you think? What do you think though? Like about because. Well, listen, I'll give you your score because then this will kind of get into the shrooms thing. We can make you like a 2.5. Let's just put you, it's more of a 2 than a 2.5 because you're not halfway.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Because so here's what I was going to ask though, because like religion, spirituality, like all these things that like humans have this need to sort of like feel like there's a reason or feel like some kind of energy that they're a part of something. And I feel like that's what mushrooms do, right? Or are supposed to, is like to sort of connect you to like Earth.
Yeah, totally.
And I don't even know why I'm attributing that everyone has to have this, but like, what's your bigger, you know, kind of picture universal thing, you know? What happens when we die?
I like to think, and I kind of had a couple of like pretty profound psychedelic experiences where I smoked this stuff called salvia. Have you guys ever heard of this?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had,
it, but yeah.
We used to get together and watch people do it, but I would never do it. Have you seen the video online of the guy who jumps out the window? Do you think that's real?
I have not seen that video, and I can't imagine. Maybe it's the first floor.
It's great. Check it out.
maybe it's only a 4-foot drop.
Well, the story is that it's the second floor, but like, who knows? Things on the internet.
Well, my experience was that I smoked that stuff, and for about 10 minutes, I was just like on another planet. But I was like, I was in this uncomfortable trip where I was kind of like, it, like nothing that I was seeing was real, but there was a voice. There was like a specific voice that was telling me, like, this is how this chapter ends. It was kind of like showing me like the end of life, and was like, it was like, this is how this chapter ends. This is only a piece of what goes on, essentially, was like what this voice was telling me.
That's and reassuring, it was like but I don't know.
That combined with, it was...
Like, do you think that's... Oh, was it?
At the time, it was... I mean, it was kind of, it was a terrifying trip. I mean, it was not, you know, it was...
Did you see, like, Gears? I hear Gears is a big part of it.
It was kind of that. But it was more like... flesh toned. It was almost like I had turned into something else, like my own body had like turned into the whole gear situation, and I was kind of feeling sucks. It like it was an unpleasant experience.
Ugh. Do you ever do it again?
No, I never did it again.
I feel like we've got a good grasp on who you are. Let's Willie hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, mushrooms, psilocybin. Is this stuff dangerous? Could it be helpful and therapeutic? Basically, this stuff seems like it's humanity's savior, but it's really been pushed hard against it. It's maybe that's why it's been illegal for so long. Should everyone be doing mushrooms tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi? And because I'm sorry, I didn't mention this to you earlier, Wade. When you said to microdose, I went and did that. I'm also kind of sensitive to it, so I'm also like,
oh, great. There. Are you going to be useless?
Oh no! I got too much to say.
I still have a little thing of acid, but it's probably remember when Ben, we microdosed?
Yeah, I was looking at something today. This Harvard website that was basically, you know, like saying like, well, there's no tests that prove that mushrooms are good for you. And I'm like, hold on a minute there. Hold on. There are a million tests of that mushrooms have therapeutic properties and how they're helping people. And so I'm like, it's still weird because you still have big institutions pushing back on it. But a lot of the research that has been done has shown that very positive healing results with PTSD, depression, boosting productivity and creativity, and also dealing with trauma. And I'm just like, if you look at some of the studies that have been done, it's like the safest drug to do in the world. I would say it's extremely safe. There's this one study where they gave 9,233 people mushrooms, and 19 of them, 0.2%, needed to get medical help, but it was mostly because of anxiety, you know. With this stuff, which has been categorized as a Schedule I drug, it's right there with heroin. This stuff can help you get off heroin, but it's like in the same category because it's extremely, what do they say? Extremely addictive with no beneficial medical properties to it.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, fuck the war on drugs, right? Like, obviously, heroin and mushrooms are not the same danger level.
A lot of people's fear of, you know, particularly maybe like people in power in the government who would, you know, who can legislate and make changes to stuff like that. I mean, it's people take mushrooms and then they have an experience that they don't understand and they're terrified and they're like, oh, it's this is bad stuff. I hear people say that just anecdotally.
What, like they just have a bad trip or like what's
yeah, the, they what's- just. They just have a bad experience. Like they just have it brings up negative emotions for them or something like that. And so it's like, well, this just must be bad. But I think a lot of times when you really analyze the negative emotions that come out of taking psilocybin or other psychedelics, I feel like it's more of like you're taking more of an inward look at yourself and inventory and like kind of seeing and being scared of your own deficit.
For sure. I mean, I think like that's drugs are so fun, right?
I don't even
necessarily want to categorize mushrooms as a drug. They grow, right? And they make you feel awesome. And if they don't make you feel awesome, you're probably a senator and you're like passing laws that you're don't like help anyone. Yeah, you're doing bad stuff. So you're going to get a bad trip. Like it's a mirror, right?
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Mushrooms, psilocybin specifically. I know that there's other,
Oh wait, can I ask this real quick before you get into this?
Yeah.
Can I just get psilocybin? Do I have to eat mushrooms?
I think they've extracted psilocybin. I mean, you would have to go to like in some, like probably in like Harvard or something, they've like made an isolate.
Well, here's my conspiracy brain. They are trying to make a synthetic one. And I think that it won't be legal nationwide until that synthetic one is owned by a pharmaceutical company. And then that's what they're going to put out.
Right. Well, but that didn't work so well with weed, right? Isn't there like synthetic weed that's like murdering people?
Yeah. What's that stuff called? Spice?
Yeah.
Spice
stuff. It's like bad news.
Yeah. You know, people are smoking that instead of weed so they can pass their drug tests and stuff. And then they're just,
oh boy,
not having a good time.
Is weed legal in Massachusetts?
Yeah. It's legal here.
God, it should be legal everywhere. I'm applying to all these jobs now and they're like, can you pass a drug test? And I'm like, well,
geez.
Yeah. Like, not weed.
It's 2023.
Yeah. What do you care? Fuck you. That's what I say. When they,
what jobs like, require you to be drug free at this point, besides like driving?
They don't want you to be on drugs.
If you look at all of the testing from the pre-war, you know, 50s, 60s, on psilocybin and then all the tests even after they've all been pretty safe. That before it was
pre-Vietnam, which war?
Well, basically in 1968 is when mushrooms really became illegal, psilocybin.
Got it.
And there was somebody from Nixon's cabinet who said that Nixon had two enemies during his election campaign and while he was in office, and it was the anti-war left and the blacks. This is their quote. They basically had to do anything to disrupt these communities. So basically, you know, making heroin Schedule One and attaching a marijuana to hippies, you know, and connecting that to the anti-war. They just wanted to disrupt these communities. So when they made these things illegal, and mushrooms was just in there too. There's not really a community that was attached to that other than the anti-war. They could then just arrest these leaders and put all these huge charges on them. You know, Nixon said this of Timothy Leary, this is the most dangerous man in America. And I thought Timothy Leary was a brilliant genius who, you know, I think that, oh, this is what the rabbit hole that I was going to go down before was, I personally feel like psilocybin specifically allows you to step out of your body almost and take a look at yourself from the perspective of observing yourself in the state of what life is. And so I think that there's a very negative view of what our society is when you take mushrooms. It makes you want to break down a lot of these rules and walls and just the way that we live. I feel like that's a big reason why it has always been considered mystical. And, you know, honestly, it's not addictive and people aren't getting hurt. I know that there are extreme cases and people can go kind of crazy off stuff that they're not used to or whatever. But
I know we've had stories on here about taking too much shrooms, but it doesn't seem like a problem, right? I mean,
it doesn't seem like any of the stories are legit. Cause I remember when I was a kid, and this is about acid, but oh, you take 3 hits of acid, you are legally insane. And so I used to always keep track of how much acid I did. So I was like, well, I don't want to be, I still carried that. And that was just like a, you know, war on drug shit.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember that. That was a thing that they said. Was that, was that dare say that? Or
I don't know. I don't know where it started, but it was like, oh yeah, you could be like deemed legally insane or something like that.
Okay. I definitely heard that, like, yeah, if you took a bad trip, it could make you insane or something. But I never heard 3 hits. 3 hits.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
How much acid have you done, Willie?
I've only done 3 hits.
Well, then you're insane.
That's not true.
Yeah, I think kind of like what psilocybin and LSD do, like at the most basic level, is they create, like, it's everything is novel. You know, when you look, everything that you see, it's just everything is a novel experience. It does make you kind of question institutions and makes you kind of question a lot of things, you know?
Yeah. If you're not already, I mean, Jesus, we're like totally fucked. I want to do mushrooms all the time because it's a great time. So they are addicted. If you're addicted to a great time,
if you're addicted to living your life, you know, geez.
Yeah. If you're addicted to mushrooms, I don't know. That's a strong addictive nature. I think, like, I don't think that's a,
probably, you know, a pricey one too, right? They're not cheap.
You can grow them.
Oh, well, can you tell me how to grow them? Can I grow them in my apartment?
Sure.
Without like a bunch of lights and shit? Well, no, because they don't have lights. It's not like weed, right?
The energy consumption is not nearly the same. It's just basically like the main challenge with cultivating mushrooms, is any type of mushroom, is sterile technique. Like, basically you just need to have, like, it's just trial and error.
My friend was growing mushrooms and they turned all black or something. I think that's what they told me. They turned all black. Do you know what that is?
If you allow a mushroom to open up all the way, specifically a psilocybin mushroom, their spores are black. So if the caps open up all the way, they'll drop all of those spores, and your, you know, whatever container you're growing in will, you know, they'll have spore. It'll have spores all over it, which
that's
are black.
Good, right? Because then you'd have more mushrooms later.
I mean, that's just the mushroom seed. That's all. I mean, technically, after, you know, you want to kind of harvest your mushrooms before that point, but they're still fine.
Well, it's an interesting thing. I don't even know. Can you get have an experience off of the spores?
No, that's just the seed. I'm not really positive, but I'm pretty sure even like the mycelium, like even the root itself, if you were to like somehow like take all of the substrate out and just eat the mycelium root, I don't think that would do the same thing either. Yeah. So it's just the mushroom.
Do you know why they exist? Like, why do magic mushrooms exist? Like, do you think they're a tool? Like, are we supposed to eat them or are they poison?
There's got to be some type of evolutionary thing, right? I mean, it's so like mushrooms are a decomposer. You know, they're basically like fungus is out there kind of breaking down all of the organic material in the forests.
The only thing out there that can eat the forest.
Right. That's like its primary objective. And I guess so maybe I mean, it's probably just one of those instances of like all sorts of plants have different toxins in them to like prevent, you know, to try and deter them from being eaten.
Right.
Could be the same thing.
There was somebody who was a part of a study who they were trying to do oil spills, how to clean them up. And the specific case that they had that he was working on, they covered the oil spill with mushroom spores or with mushrooms. And somehow it like triggered a breakdown and got all these insects to help. And it like cleaned up the oil spill naturally. And I've never heard of it since then, you know, just like, we can clean up oil spills naturally with this thing that can digest anything out there. And it's like, this is the way it should be cleaned up, you know, but just saying that, like, you know, and it's probably costly and takes a lot of time and whatnot. But to me, that was a game changer in trying to be green.
And imagine how hard somebody worked on that mushroom to try and like alter it. Like, you know, I'm sure that was an altered mushroom. You know, that's one of those things where people probably in a lab spent a lot of time trying to engineer that and make it work to do just that.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was an accident. Who knows? But that's pretty cool either way. All right.
Wade, do you know who Terrence McKenna is?
Is he that writer that we know?
No. He's like an old school. He's basically the Mushroom King.
I know that you've brought him up before.
He used to do so many mushrooms and he would claim that the mushrooms would have conversations with him. So I want to read some of the quotes that the mushrooms have said to him, which I think are pretty, pretty compelling. I asked the mushroom once about the social chaos at the end of history. And the mushroom said, "No worry, bro. This is what it's like when a species departs for hyperspace. There's a little shimmy in the landing zone as we take off." And to me, it's weird because I do attach to mushrooms. The spores would survive in space. They have a metallic cover. They reflect light. If mushrooms could go throughout the solar system, when you picture intelligent life living for so long that the next step is to go into space because your sun is going to die out, your star, then I would feel like there would be something. If that were the natural state of living and intelligent beings do have to leave their stars, it'd be cool if mushrooms like did that too and were a part of getting you to be able to travel the cosmos, because the last thing you need when you leave your planet is like, I don't know. I mean, like, you have to have a bigger, I'm kind of losing my mind a little bit right now, but you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if humans are going to colonize space, yeah, they should probably take some mushroom spores with them. I think, that'd be a good idea.
So Terrence McKenna died when he was 58.
My dad was 58. It's pretty young. The mushroom said to me once, "If you don't have a plan, you become a part of somebody else's plan." I'm like, oh yeah, that's good. I didn't pre-read these. I just the mushroom said to me once, "Nature loves courage. Nature loves courage." And I said, "What's the payoff on that?" It said, "It shows you that it loves courage because it will remove obstacles. You make the commitment and nature will respond to that commitment by removing impossible obstacles. Dream the impossible dream and the world will not grind you up. It will lift you up. This is the trick. This is what all these teachers and philosophers, the ones who really counted, who really touched the alchemical gold, this is what they understood. This is the shamanic dance in the waterfall. This is how magic is done. It's done by hurling yourself into the abyss and discovering that it's a feather bed."
It's all great, right? It's like, if you don't believe in an afterlife, that's sad. Just not that you don't believe in it, but that's a sad state, right?
It's a sad ending.
You're just like, yeah, you're just like, oh, that's the end. But it would be fun to kind of travel through the cosmos or something.
I'll read one more, right? In reference to the, this one was about traveling the cosmos. This is the last one I'll read because the other one. "This is what it's like when a species prepares to depart for the stars. This is not unusual. The earth quakes, the oceans boil, the planet came into existence for this. All life for over a billion years has been pointed towards taking this step. Leaving the oceans for the land was a dress rehearsal for what will now be done. It's chilling because it's so huge. You don't even know. It's just enormous. Yet apparently, when you look back through the history of the universe, this is how it proceeds, incredibly gradually over staggering scales of time. But then every once in a while, you come around the corner and there it is. A continent sinks, an asteroid impacts, a star explodes, two intelligent species meet somewhere out in the cosmos. These things set ripples going on for eons."
Yeah, this guy was zapped out, man.
Yeah, I love listening to him talk about everything. Like, he's the Mushroom King.
He does have this, he has a cadence, like the way that he speaks is like super interesting too. So you like you're kind of drawn in a little bit. That's very flowery descriptions of being high on mushrooms.
So what made you, so you said like it was originally a financial decision. Why didn't that work out? Are you just bad at selling?
Well, no, it was just, there was so much learning involved. It wound up just taking, you know, if you break it down into dollars per hour, you know, it was not a worthwhile investment of time unless you just consider it a hobby, which I did. And then I developed skill, you know, over the years, and kind of, there's one strain that I kind of like honed in and I kind of have dialed in, you know, my cultures are all very, very strong with this one particular strain. So it turned into more of a passion project because, like I said, about the anecdotal experiences of like people, like friends of mine, like taking, you know, that would take my mushrooms and then stop using heroin. Or not to say there hasn't ever been any, it kind of turned into like a real hobbyist type of interest.
Are you growing mushrooms right now?
I have cultures. Yeah. I'll do like a big run and then I'll put everything away. Cause like I said, it is a lot of work.
How often do you eat mushrooms?
Maybe once a month and a half or something like that. You know, for me, it's more of like, it is kind of like a therapeutic thing. And yeah. I could kind of go into it a little bit. I mean, it's for me, like a lot of times, like the mushroom experience is something that regulates me kind of emotionally and kind of like puts me into gives me a better perspective. It's not really something that I do recreationally, to be honest. Like every now and again, I'll, you know, if again, like with family members or something like that, more of like a therapeutic thing for me, where I will notice myself kind of just slipping into like kind of more like addictive mindset, or, you know, kind of just negativity. You know, I find myself kind of slipping into that world. And I think like, you know, moderate mushroom doses that I take just kind of like snap me out of it in a certain way, where I can kind of like really show up a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, for daily life, it's like a supported feeling. Like when you take mushrooms, it opens up like this compassion. You have compassion for yourself. You have compassion for other people in your life or strangers. You know, that's really like the main like therapeutic mechanism, is just to kind of have that like gentle self-talk for a little bit.
And ever since I've been microdosing shrooms, I definitely feel like I have been not callous, but I definitely have a negative view on. Our society, just the structure of it. And I've also gotten to a point where I feel like maybe I drink too much, and I'm considering that again, but just that I've haven't for a long time thought about who I should be and how I should be here. Sure, having a kid makes you relive your whole life from your parents' point of view, but I'm like, I feel like the shrooms make me, and I haven't done a real dose. I've only microdosed for a long time. I did doses back in the day, but just saying that I feel like that is helping me rewire myself to care about who I am again and my place here.
Is there like a time that you'll take a?
Usually it's date night. We'll both.
So dorky, dude.
But I also know that I drink too much while I'm microdosing. So like, honestly, it was pretty intense there for a little bit here just a second ago. And I'm like, was listening to myself talk, but I'm like, oh yeah, now I'm smoothing out. Everything's great. Like, I feel good.
Yeah, I mean, you just took them. It happens that quick. For me, it takes a while.
Usually like 15 minutes for me. And I'm like, really? Oh no, maybe I took a macrodose. And then I'm like, oh, just chill. I will say the science of it though, you know, when you look at like people that have tried to quit smoking, this is of this one same study where people were trying to quit using psilocybin, 80% success rate versus like Chantix, which had a 35 success rate. And they think that that's the best.
Well, hang on. I feel like you misspoke. They're trying to quit nicotine.
Yeah.
Not psilocybin.
You're sorry. Yes. Yes. Quit nicotine.
What's in Chantix?
Chantix, I think it's the number one like quitting nicotine aid. It only has a 35% success rate. I'm like, holy shit, man.
I mean, nicotine's great too. Everyone should start smoking.
That's what the doctors used to say. but the crazy thing scientifically about mushrooms that they've been looking at is, of course, when you take it, your gut converts it to, I don't know how to say this, psilocin? Is that how you say it? Do you know?
Yeah, psilocin. Yeah.
And then it binds to serotonin receptors. But they say that it triggers neuronal avalanching. Basically, your brain is very compartmentalized. And when you take shrooms, It like connects your brain, all these compartmentalized parts that work separately start working together. And so you get neural avalanching, is what they call it, whatever neuromal, but definitely like 100% like good for you.
You can kind of feel it happening too. It's it'll cut certain neural pathways in your brain and kind of force your brain to like use ulterior routes, which, I mean, I'm not a neuroscientist. I don't know how all that stuff works, but I feel like that's the novelty. That's part of the novelty effect.
Do you do therapy at all?
I have. I'm not currently doing any type of talk therapy, but I have done that.
I'm just wondering, I've heard about now people doing like extreme therapy, like, fuck, what is it? DMT or something like that, where they go to like a controlled room. That their therapist is like, Willie, do you know what I'm talking about? Does this ring a bell at all?
I've heard of, different psycho, DMT, but also shrooms and different things where like, but I haven't looked into it fully, but that it's like a controlled therapeutic experience run by a therapist as opposed to.
Like watch you and make sure you're not bugging out or whatever. I don't know. I just feel like everyone should. Eat shrooms.
From what I read one time a long time ago, like the therapist was saying, like, well, a lot of people kind of push back on therapy a lot mentally because it's like part of it, even like in the middle of it, you might start to convince yourself that you don't have a problem or whatever. But using shrooms, and I'm not sure about DMT, but I trust what you read, but just saying that like people lose their ego a little bit and then can take the therapy.
Right. Is there a difference? I mean, I know there's a difference, but I guess I'm asking you, Dilip, what do you think about acid? Is acid the enemy of mushrooms? LSD?
Oh, no, not at all. No, for me, it's a little bit of like less of a therapeutic thing and more of just like, most of the times that I've taken acid, it's like, we're partying down, that's kind of, cause it's a longer experience. If you take LSD, I mean, you got like 8 to 10 hours.
Yeah. I've only microdosed it. And, I think just the one time, because I'm pretty sure that thing that Ben gave me, like I ate it at some point and it didn't do anything. I think it expired.
It'll lose potency after a little while. Yeah. LSD is fun. But I don't really,
But it doesn't have that thing where you like feel connected or you feel like,
It's just less of that. It's less of that. I think it's more like at least for me, like it metabolizes in my body more like it's a little bit more speedy. Like I kind of get a huge jolt of energy, which.
Yeah, I was going to agree with that. Yeah. Like, that's why,
awesome.
Even though a lot of people do acid everywhere, like acid is a bigger rave drug than shrooms.
It doesn't really put you in a reflective state. It's almost just like, like the novelty effect is still happening, but you're kind of, that's what I found. Yeah. It's you're less reflective and more just kind of,
experiencing the high, right?
Yeah.
Just like, oh, this is fucking great. But not like, which movie am I going to do? This is an Entourage, reference.
Right. Yeah. Every time I've taken LSD, the next day, like my abdomen will be sore from laughing. That's kind of like, that's
what a dream. So you get in shape and have fun. I kind of like having a cold because I cough so much that I feel like my abs are getting ripped, How do I find people who will sell me mushrooms? Like how do I find drug dealers? I want to do like a Vice docuseries where I just start from zero and I do a bunch of episodes and one of them's like, how do I find a drug dealer? And the other one's like, how do I buy a gun, or whatever.
Well, I mean, it sounds to me like you just need to hang out like near a subway stop for a little while and talk to some folks.
Yeah, maybe in the East Coast, but fucking out here, the subway is like Armageddon, man. It's like a post-apocalyptic fucking hellscape.
It's down there. Just people going to work and homeless people. There's no in between. I don't know.
I'd be shocked if there was nobody hustling at the bottom of a staircase anywhere.
I don't know, man. We got cops down there. Willie, do you remember when we were in a bar? I think it was New Year's or St. Patrick's Day or something like that. And some Irish guy came up and started talking to us because we were in the corner. And from his experience, the drug dealers always hung out in the corner.
Yeah, that was New Year's at the bar we used to go to in North Hollywood. Yeah.
Blue Chip, right?
Yeah. And he was a loud Irish guy. And like, I mean, it was fun, but definitely
it was a lot of fun. But then it was like, we're not friends. You just wanted drugs from us.
Yeah.
It's not cool. Daddy. Thought we were hanging out. Oh, shit. We got a moose. Moose on a loose. Play the song. What do you think about mushrooms overall? Obviously, you love them. Because you grow them and so, oh, tell me this. How would I start growing them? Like, would I have to like get like a planter and fill it up with dirt?
No, poop. it's not a dirt situation or a poop situation. Actually, it's so that you just start out in mason jars. It's one of those things where it's tough to picture unless you're like hands on and doing it. But basically, you're cooking up a substrate, which is basically something that mushrooms like to eat. I like to use rye berries. It's just like a grain. So you cook a grain and you put it into a mason jar and you sterilize that mason. You basically create a sterile environment inside of that mason jar. And then you apply to it some type of spore or like a spore solution, which, you know, is that you can buy that stuff on the internet and you get like a spore syringe or something that you can just poke into your mason jar. And they call it inoculate your substrate.
You can buy them like online. You can just buy it.
Yep.
Really?
Yep. As long as it's not, and that's been the case for years. So that was kind of the workaround. That's how like people got, that's how I got into growing mushrooms back, whatever, in 2013. I just ordered a spore print, which is just somebody stuck a mushroom cap on top of a piece of aluminum foil and folded it up. And what you have is a mushroom shaped outline of spores. And what you can do from that is just like, you can inoculate whatever type of substrate with those spores. You can even make your own spore print with like a bag of mushrooms that you have lying around. I think that might be another reason for like the legality thing, is that mushrooms are so easy to grow. Like you can get, I've gotten like just a cap off of like a friend of mine who had a particularly good batch of mushrooms, and I'll bring that cap home and I'll start growing that same mushroom just from one little piece of genetic material.
Radical.
It takes a lot of research and like I said, like some trial and error to really get it down and figure it out.
Well, so what happens? You put the rye, what'd you call them? Berries?
Yep.
In a mason jar.
Mm-hmm. And they're all cooked up.
Sterilized. What is that? Oh, okay. So you sterilize them. Then you put the spores in there.
And then
how
what
long
happens?
Until I get mushrooms.
Yeah, so it's kind of a two-step process. You take that jar, grows the root of the mushroom, which is the mycelium. And okay. So you have like a handful of jars that are all fully colonized with mycelium. They've all turned completely white. And then you take and break all those jars up. You empty those jars.
You throw them against your wall.
You throw them against your wall, and then mushrooms grow out of the side of your wall. No, it's nice. you empty them into another container, and you basically start that process over again. And it's out of that other larger container that your mushrooms will grow.
Do you water it?
No, all of the moisture is like inside of the, it's all inside of the substrate. That's part of the trial and error, is you want to like have is moisture content. Like you want to kind of have like the perfect amount of moisture, so it facilitates, you know, the mushroom growing rather than other molds and
bacteria,
you know, bacteria that's kind of a little stronger than mycelium. So other stuff is going to want to grow, and you're going to want to create an environment that's just ideal for those mushrooms.
How would I, if I went online right now and tried to buy magic mushroom spores, what would I type in?
Probably your best bet to get started, Wade, if you wanted to do this, would be to get like they have whole kits that you can order. So you have like essentially everything involved. Like sometimes they have like pre-sterilized stuff, so you wouldn't even really need to, like a pressure cooker is kind of an expensive investment, you know? So if you were to like spend, I don't even know what the kits are going for now online, but probably like $150, you could like buy a kit and then just have everything ready to rock. And they're
okay.
Probably...
I'm looking at Amazon right now. Booming Acres, and you told us off air that boomer is a slang term for mushrooms.
Correct.
Right? Or people who use mushrooms? What is it?
It's boomers are mushrooms.
Okay. And that's why, oh, we haven't shouted out the Instagram either. Boomer Spores.
Boomer Spore.
Boomer Spore. What do you just take pictures of the...
Yeah, I just have pictures of like my my setup, my
your family. You call them your family?
All of my children. No, I just have a few different pictures of my setup, and then just like different experiments that I've done with like different types of growing environments and stuff. The main purpose is just to like network with other mycologists to kind of like, you know, hone skill.
Have you thought about just like going into this? What's your profession? Like, how do you make a living?
Oh, I work at a grocery store.
Are you a bag boy or?
Yeah. I get the carts. I do the bathrooms. No, I'm in management in a pretty popular grocery chain.
Which one? Kroger?
Trader Joe's.
Oh, Trader Joe's.
I love.
Oh man, the eye roll on that one.
That figures. The mushroom guy works at Trader Joe's. I want to ask you this. It's $38. The magical 5-pound all-in-one mushroom grow bag. Harvest your own happiness. Discover the magic of growing mushrooms. 5-pound grow bag mushroom starter kit.
Okay. Yeah. So that sounds like one of those bags that's basically got what probably looks like it's got grains at the top and then dirt at the bottom
type of deal. Yeah, it does. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So what you have there is like it's all that whole process that I just explained to you is all now in one step. So you would just need to, you'd purchase that, and then you get, probably not on Amazon. I would probably look on someplace like Etsy or someplace like that for a spore syringe. And basically that's just like spores suspended in a liquid in a syringe, in water in a syringe. And you would just inject that into the front of the bag.
Well, like step one is inject.
Right. Does it come with spores?
I don't know. Is this too cheap? Is this like I'll look into it later. Can people procure your mushrooms by messaging you through Instagram, or is this too illegal to talk about?
That is not something. Yeah, no, I don't do that. Okay. But it is so like the Instagram, yeah, kind of is more for like networking with mycologists. Also, because there is stuff that you can trade. There, you know, like I said, spore prints and stuff like that can be sold or obtained. So that type of stuff.
Well, okay. So that brings me back to my last question, which I forgot about. Is this like something that you could do? Not the magic part, but like, is there an industry for just like guys who are good at growing mushrooms?
Yeah, it's a competitive one. It's a really competitive one. And that's another thing that kind of, maybe it's one of those things. What's that? They call it the Dunning-Kruger effect, where you, you think that you're an expert at something when you're a novice, or
when you're stupid. Yeah. Stupid people think they're smarter at things. Yeah. Something right. Like that. Right.
So you have a little bit of like initial success in growing mushrooms, and you're like, oh man, this is, wow, I could turn this into a business overnight, you know? But then you really look at some of the competition out there, and it's people are growing some wild stuff. I mean, a lot of the people that I'm connected to on Instagram are growing like crazy, crazy mushrooms in places where it's legal to do so. Also, like,
where's that? You know, where is it legal?
I think Colorado and in Denver. I think everything's.
I heard that. Yeah,
San Francisco. Yeah.
They actually just decriminalized mushrooms in a handful of places on the East Coast too. So like Washington D.C., there's a couple.
And the reason
of little...
being is because honestly, the therapeutic effects are so undeniable. They're better than any of these pharmaceutical things for big problems, you know? So it's very credible. And I feel like it got combined with LSD during the Nixon shit, and they just never got over the war on drugs. And it's like, how can this be with heroin? Fucking blows me away.
It's money, right? There's no financial reason for them to just be like, hey, all that shit that you were doing, we don't need the money that we would get from incarcerating you anymore. Like, so it's like, once it's on the books, it's like fucking. So now I'm on Etsy magic mushroom kit. This one, these are cheap. So these might, I don't, Oh, here's one, $77. So the more I pay, the more legit it is, right?
I mean, I could be wrong in the pricing. It's been a long time since I've looked into the kits.
Okay, let's wrap it up. Kind of final thoughts or plugs or anything you guys want to do?
Yeah, my final thoughts are, if you know, I grew up afraid of drugs, and I really think at the very least, people should microdose. I feel like rewire your brain a little bit. It's definitely like makes your brain work together a little bit. And if you're worried about hallucinogenic effects or whatnot, like microdosing is, I don't know. I think it's a great brain fix, and we all need that.
I agree.
Brain heal, I would say, not fix. We need some brain healing. We need some. Yeah. Sorry. Go on.
Oh, yeah. Dilip, anything to add?
I think all politicians should take mushrooms once.
Yeah, right.
I
agree with that. I think everyone should. Yeah. But yeah, especially politicians, those fucking scumbags. God, I feel so old. I hate politicians now. What am I? My dad? Come on. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Thank you, Dilip, for being here. Once again, it's Boomer Spore on Instagram. And, you know, follow him, learn something about growing your magic mushrooms. I'm going to do that. God, what a great life that would be if you just had an endless supply of magic mushrooms. How long do they take to grow?
Like 4 to 6 weeks, somewhere in there.
Oh boy. It's like a Christmas present.
Takes a little while.
We're going to continue the conversation on our bonus episode, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi, for access to that. Who knows what we're going to talk about? I'll bet it gets crazy. Willie, how are you feeling? Are you like, you look happy?
Yeah, I'm smiling too much. And I'm aware of what I'm saying. And for a hot second there, I was like, oh, I'm hearing myself talk. Like, what's going on? Yeah. I feel good.
All right. You said that already. So you might not be listening to what you're saying that much. I'm just fucking with you. I don't want to send you down a bad trip, but just picture a water slide and you're like drowning on it.
That's happened.
It happened to me too. All right. Thanks again, everyone. Don't forget. Well, reallifesci-fi.show is our link tree. Don't forget about Twitch TV, Real Life Sci-Fi on Monday nights. And then Willie does a Thursday night gameplay that's way more popular than our Monday night thing, and I'm still gonna have to split the money evenly with you. Sorry.
Tell it to RoboCop. Jump.
Who's that? Is that RoboCop?
Crime doesn't pay.
Okay, that's better. All right, thanks everyone, and remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We will see you next time. Cool.
Bye. I know, dude.
You said bye like 5 minutes ago. 3 5 5 5